Hello and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. Join us, the two blokes, Philip and Petter, as we dive deep into the complex world of financial markets and home trading. Today's episode is sponsored by BizIntra Financial Academy. BizIntra offers sponsored trading programs that have been developed by professional traders. Don't pay a fortune to learn how to trade. Simply sign up by using one of their partner brokers and receive trading education and signals by institutional traders. Make sure you log on to www.bizintra.com/two blokes for everything related to the markets. You won't be disappointed.
Howdy ho, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Two Blokes Trading. I'm your co-host, P-Man, and again, on the other side of the sea, I have my good friend and trader, Philip. Say hello, Philip.
Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
That's all. That's the only Spanish word now, sorry.
Are you serious? You told me you were going to practice your Spanish.
No, I said I was going to practice my Norwegian, and I only know one Norwegian word.
Well,
in fact, why is it whenever anyone learns a language, or when they meet someone who speaks a different language, the only question they ever ask is, how do you say fuck? Or they want to know the bad words. They don't want to know, like, Norway. Hey, can I have a cup of tea, please? They don't want to know the normal stuff. They just want to know the bad language.
Just because people are retarded. We're all retarded. Retarded people.
Cool.
Cool.
Well, where do we start?
Where do we start this week off? How's your week been, Philip?
Oh, my week. Busy as always. Busy with work and also trying to balance looking at the markets, trading the markets, working in the financial markets, and also studying the financial markets because of my degree and stuff. So
I guess sometimes it can get a bit too much.
Yeah, it's certainly, like, there's no way that I could become a day trader, you know what I mean? Because I don't have 5 minutes to spare. Like, I met a guy there recently, and I was selling a watch to him, and he wanted to meet me in a jeweler's to, you know, verify the watch, all this sort of stuff. But trying to meet this guy was near impossible. And he said, are you free this evening? I said, no, you're not listening. I'm never free. I said, you know, he said, well, can I meet you at 5:30? I said, no. I said, I finish work at 5:30 and I'll be home at 7. Once I get it all set up, I'm free from 8 o'clock onwards most evenings. But I'm not free on Wednesdays or Thursdays. And he said, well, what about before work in the mornings? And I said, well, I leave for work at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I get home, you know, at like maybe half six at night, depending on what day it is, you know, and depending on what shift I'd be working in the bank. So it's, I'm never free. You know, I only realized that, like, I only realized it, you know, when someone else puts it into perspective, you know, when someone else tells you, I guess I didn't feel like I was never free, but he said, you know, look, geez, I've never seen anyone work so much, but sure. That's the life I've chosen, unfortunately.
Well, I guess that's the way it is for everybody who's trying to get or to reach a goal that's a bit more hard to get than the mundane 9-to-4 lifestyle that probably a lot of the other human beings out there on this planet are striving for.
But yeah.
It's so important to balance things out. And that was probably, it's going to be another topic on this podcast maybe taking some time off the markets is not that detrimental to your trading that you maybe thought it could be.
Yeah. Well, I just know I, because of my, you know, like the way you and I used to sit in front of the markets and day trade together, I can't be a day trader anymore because it's not from not wanting to. But it's just, I just don't have the actual time to do it. So it's swing trade or, you know, or longer term portfolio style management trading, you know, where like 1 to 3 month or maybe more time horizons for me, because otherwise, you know, where am I going to get the time? I need some life, you know?
Yep.
Anyway,
yep. That's the way.
How about you?
Well, my last week has been pretty slow. I was looking at the Aussie Kiwi, trying to get some room between my entry and stop loss and the actual price, but it didn't actually fare out that well. So that was a loss. I took a loss on the Aussie Kiwi, which is fine. I'm still, my bias is still to the long side on this trade, but I guess I timed it incorrectly, and that's something that happens sometimes. So it's just back to the drawing board. I'm not saying that my bias is going to change, but I have to take a look at the trade again and see if the parameters are still there. And if it is, I'm still going to pull the trigger on a long trade.
Mm. Well, I looked into COT data on the Aussie dollar itself, and it's starting to turn around. Positions being short, positions being filled, and you know when you need to cover your shorts, you have to buy back at a different price. So, it looks like Aussie dollar, well, not Aussie versus US dollar. It looks like we'll catch a bid. So it's interesting. It'll be one to watch anyway, you know. So, But if the dollar thesis plays out, Aussie dollar versus US dollar. Jesus, it ain't going to be pretty how low that could go. It could even, like some people are saying, you know, could go as low as 0.5 to the dollar, which is pretty bad for the Aussies. But however.
Yeah, and again, take notice of my loss. That's why we don't put all our eggs in one basket, so we still have more triggers to pull when the trade eventually gets there.
So, well, it's one of those pairs that just really whips around. Like remember the time when I was short Aussie Kiwi, we were in Bali. Like that gave me like pain at times. You know, I'm not saying like I was emotional over it, but I had to let it. I had no stops on any of my positions. No stop whatsoever. Just because I don't suggest everybody do that. Of course, it's not for everyone, and it's probably not the smartest thing to do. But it's just the way I traded that particular pair because I knew it was going to whip around a little bit. So no stop losses. And I had like five positions on that Aussie Kiwi short at the time from 112. I think it was around 112 or 111 I got short from. But there were several times where it would have gone heavily against me, you know. But I just had to believe in the fundamental setup. I was so sure that it was going to 105 and lower. I think it was 104.80 is what it got to. But that was a good trade.
Sometimes you just have to stick to your guns.
Yeah.
How is the economical calendar looking out, Philip?
It's actually an interesting one next week. There's a bit of news coming out. Starting with tomorrow. Well, today, of course, is the 10th of the 2nd. So it is Sunday, the 10th of the 2nd. So this little podcast will be posted out this afternoon, and so I hope everybody takes advantage of the roll of news which is coming out from tomorrow. So basically in the euro area from Monday the 11th, 9:30 a.m. GMT, UK GDP, quarter over quarter. So basically the rate of change in Q4, consensus estimates see a massive drop in gross domestic product, but we should know this already because the stock market is underperforming. So 0.6 was the previous quarter, 0.2 this quarter. All that's telling you there is growth is slowing in the UK. It's not a forward-looking indicator into the economy or anything like that. This is something everyone should know already by looking, first of all, at what news is coming out of the UK, looking at manufacturing coming out of the UK. You should already know that this gross domestic product, a GDP number, is going to be not bearish. It's already priced in. You know what I mean? That's why consensus, I would be really shocked if consensus estimates were beaten tomorrow. So if we saw 0.6% growth and the consensus estimates expect 0.2, then your all eyes are going to be on the FTSE and sterling as a currency. So pick the weakest cross to trade it. So if I was to take a close look, maybe cable, or maybe sterling versus euro. That would probably be so euro sterling. That would be a good trade off on a currency pair, and also obviously the FTSE itself. So that's the only thing that I can recommend taking a close look at news wise for Monday would be any sterling related assets. Second of all, now Tuesday, Governor Powell from the United States, he speaks. Let's see what he has to say. There's always fun around whatever he has to say. I've always wondered, I don't get the Fed chairperson or whatever, because they always, in this case, Governor Powell says he's data-driven and he's happy. So either he's lying or he's not data-driven, because if he is data-driven, the data is desperate. You know, so I don't know what he's going to say tomorrow. I'm pretty sure he's going to probably tell you, say, yeah, we're on track. Everything is okay or whatever. You know, he's clearly not looking at the data from, you know, like anything that's leading in the United States, because it's starting to get really ugly. So anyway, focus on that 18:45. So that's 6:45 in the evening GMT, Governor Powell. I keep saying this to people, and I hope you guys do it. Watch this speech. You'll have to type into Google and look for the live speech, but it's educational to you. And have, if you're lucky enough to have two or three screens, have the Fed chairperson talking on one, and watch the dollar and the stock market on the other. Just watch it to see how every word he reacts. You see, and watch in low time frames. It's always fun to see the low time frames. Like look at a 1 hour or even 30 minute, maybe 15 minute, 5 minute, whatever. When you see huge spikes, you know, whenever he says something, then you know, ooh, that spooked the market. What? Why did that spook the market? So it's educational for you. And then obviously 9 o'clock at night on Tuesday, we have RBS, so our RBS NZ, which is Royal Bank of New Zealand press conference. Interesting to see monetary policy in New Zealand as well, especially if anyone is actually looking at Aussie Kiwi trade, which PMAN was in. Watch the currency pairs. That's what's going to be interesting. So watch Kiwi dollar and also watch Aussie Kiwi spread, and keep a close eye on that. So that's more of a currency to watch, and that's 9 o'clock in the evening. So everyone should be able to watch that. Next, we have on Wednesday, February the 13th. Well, this is interesting because at 9 o'clock at night on Tuesday, February the 12th, we had press conference from the Royal Bank of New Zealand. And then 1 a.m. in the morning on the Wednesday, so a few hours afterwards, we have the rate statement report. So, and then also we have interest rate decision, which they're planning to keep the interest rate at, unchanged, and monetary policy statement. So all eyes are all going to be on the Kiwi dollar. So late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, and we're talking, like I said, 1 a.m. London time GMT, is when all this news is coming out of Kiwi. So there's going to be some fun based around that. So keep a close eye on any Kiwi crosses in the currency pairs. Then early Wednesday morning, consumer price index in the UK. Again, very slight slowdown in the UK, of course. So keep a close eye on FTSE and also on cable and Euro Sterling. And then 1:30 in the afternoon, we have consumer price index, ex food and energy, month over month rate of change, and also year over year rate of change coming out at 1:30 in the US. They're expecting very, very slight change. So any big change to this number will cause volatility based around the S&P 500, any US indices, and also the dollar itself. Also, bear in mind, you can, if anything affects the dollar, always try and think of who has negative correlation to the dollar going up or down, or who's correlated to the dollar going up and down. So remember, commodities are priced in dollars, and gold and silver are also priced in dollars. So if the dollar rises heavily, you know that's negative for gold and silver and other precious metals, and vice versa. Anyways, let's see now. Thursday, February the 14th. Interesting one. I don't see how Germany at 7 a.m. in the morning are expecting growth in Q4, but they're expecting an ever so slight bit of growth in Q4. If they get it, which I highly doubt it, nothing will change. But if they miss, yeah, you're going to see some sell-off in dollars and in euros and probably most European indices. Also, 10 a.m. in the morning, we have GDP year over year. And quarter over quarter in the Eurozone, it should be interesting. You know, I don't see any growth. They're not expecting any growth. They're actually expecting things to be the same as the previous quarter. But let's just wait and see. With all the mess that's going on in Italy at the moment, as in Italy is in recession, we also now have Poland's PMI numbers are in contraction. The same with France. I think Spain is, definitely Italy is. Anyway, we know that for sure. So this should be one to watch. So keep an eye again on Thursday. Thursday morning is all about Europe. So any Euro crosses or any Euro indices to keep an eye on. Then, let's see, 1:30 in the afternoon, we have retail sales out of the US. And, you know, it's not usually a big mover, but anything that's negative, they're expecting no growth. They're basically expecting little to no change in retail sales in the United States. Actually, it's a worse number than the previous month. So if they get that number, it's priced in, you won't see much of a change. But if it's different from what analysts expect, you will see some volatility around the US markets and US currency. And then Friday, to finish it off, it's all about the China. China at 1:30 in the morning, consumer price index. I can remember from when P-Man and I were doing things like looking into China and talking about China in, what was the name of the PMI numbers? There was the PBOC, and then there was the Hong Kong one as well. I can't remember the name of it, but the government ones are highly manipulated. So, like, I've even read recently about China's growth at 6.4%. People actually really believe that it's actually that number is incorrect. It should really be only like 4%. So, yeah, China's number that's coming out for a consumer price index is actually seem to have improved from the previous month. This is what analysts expect. I can never, you know, take it seriously because I know the numbers are so manipulated. So, but if you are going to take a close look at anything, look at maybe the renminbi or yuan versus dollar. That should be an interesting one. The big number for that spread is actually 7.0. Any break above that is basically China devaluing their currency and the dollar appreciating against it. Anyway, next we have the final thing, which is one of my favorite of all leading indicators, Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. So the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index for February, U.S. consumer thinks that America is going to slightly grow, which, okay, if you guys think so, but maybe they're not data dependent. But this is a pretty good leading indicator for a recession. So U.S. consumers expecting a slight bit of growth from the previous month. Maybe let's wait and see. I'm not sure, but it's always a good indicator. Anything below 86 on that number, so they're expecting 94.5. Anything below 86 or 80 is kind of danger area where something's not right. The consumer's turning bearish. But in this case, consumer doesn't... we don't know actually yet, because in this case, we only have analysts predicting what the consumer's going to think. The consumer will tell us on Friday, the 15th of February, how he feels. Let's see if the consumer gets bearish. You know, if the consumer's bearish, yeah, it's only a matter of time before the rest of the economy rolls over. Anyway, that's the news for next week. It's all going to be, it's full of entertainment. If I had to put my eyes on anything, I'd be watching Kiwi dollar. And I'd also be watching the US dollar, gold I'd be watching, and silver. And then on Friday, I'd be keeping a close eye on what the consumer thinks of the United States. So that's my job done, and it's all over to P-Man. I'm out of here. See you. Bye.
That was a great job, Philip. Thank you very much.
No worries.
We've been having some questions, and I like to see the Facebook page lighting up with questions and answers. And there are a lot of people also discussing trades among themselves, and I think that's great. As a community, it's good to grow together. One thing of advice that I would like to say to people that are asking questions, try to be a bit more, fill it a bit more with detail so we can break it down a little more easier. Like we have Mr. Jules. Oh, that's a girl, sorry. Or a guy, I'm not sure. Well, Jules Diaz anyways.
Oh my God. If you are a girl and he just called you a guy, I apologize.
Well, there are two people on the picture, you know, how could I? Oh, anyways, he or she asked, has anyone here had any issues with the trading platform Owanda? Now, there are a variety of issues that you could have with a broker's platform, so it's a bit difficult to answer that. So I'd advise you to put a bit more detail in what you're having problems with, and we'll see if we can answer it either on the Facebook page or the next podcast.
Yeah, Well, if I don't know anything actually about this. Is it Owanda how it's pronounced?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them. Are they a broker or is it a charting service or is it both?
Yeah, they're a broker and I bet they have their own, like every broker has their own charting software. Charts.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I don't know what your person's issue with them is, but like for me, a broker is just a person just to place the trade. You know, what defines a good broker for me is, now this will change for everyone, of course, but depending on the asset or depending on what you're trading. So if you're trading contracts for difference, you'll know that the commissions are very, very important on how you enter the trade and exit the trade and the cost of doing business. But that's all I really care about. Like, are they a good execution? Sorry, I've got a hiccup. Good execution. And good execution. And also, have they got a wide range of assets to trade? Because like, I don't want to name any brokers or anything there. Actually, I don't care. But like, let's say, for instance, FXCM. FXCM has a huge range of currencies to trade. You know, but like doesn't really have any indices or anything or even stocks to trade. Like it has one or two indices, but like nothing major. You know, you get like probably about 40 or 50, probably 40. Is it about 40 different assets you can trade on FXCM? So, but like,
yeah, something around there.
If you're looking to trade multiple types of assets, if you're looking to trade futures market or you're looking to trade options or different derivatives, you know, there are brokers out there who provide that. But then you need to be looking into like how much they charge and their commissions and things like that, you know. And also the size of your account plays a very important role as well. So,
yeah. But just to take a wild guess, I haven't heard anybody have any problems with Owanda. It's a good and respected broker. So, So yeah. So if you have any further questions, Jules, just write a comment on your post there and we'll see if we can get back to you.
Yeah, just let us know what the issue is and I'm sure we can advise, I guess.
Yeah, there is a second question. This is from, and I'm going to fuck this name up as well, Christian Gerton something. He asks, anyone can advise on the most simple, straightforward way of learning to trade?
All right. You want to take that one on?
Well, again, this is this is a pretty broad question, but
like, what do you want? Like, this is the thing. What do you want to learn? Do you want to be a technical analyst? And like, this is the thing. Like, most people go to technical analysis, and don't read. Maybe people go to technical analysis because it's easier to begin with, but they may turn out to be an absolutely terrible technical analyst and find that their passion is more for global macro. You know, it depends, you know, what you want to do. Do you want to be a professional trader or do you want to just, you have a few grand sitting around and you want to try and grow it yourself and then you want to do your day job? It all depends on what you want to become. Like I wanted to be, and I still want to be, a portfolio manager one day, you know, and the way a portfolio manager trades is very, very different to most. Like you look at things like discounted cash flows, you know, you really have to get in. If you're an equity trader, you have to, like I said, discounted cash flows, and you have to start learning about hedging, everything. It's a totally different way of trading, whereas the easier way of trading would be to focus on technical analysis. But again, that style of trading might not suit you. You might just think, no, I need to know more. Like I am. Yeah. I'm the person who needs to know more. I have to know. That's the way I am.
It's. I think it's really important that you take a look at your personality once you start to dabble into to trading, because that plays a big part in how your day-to-day, or if you can live with yourself after your trading day is over. So my advice there is I would go down the route of both, to be honest. I would dabble into the fundamentals and I would dabble into the technicals, and then I would take notice of what I fancy more or less, you know. I listened into that some previous podcasts of the two recently blokes, and they also had, so one went the fundamental route and the other one went the technical route, but they both dabbled into to each other's environments, but they sort of, yeah.
I love how you finish that one off. They sort of, yeah, like we're supposed to understand what P-Man means.
Well, all I'm trying to say is that they went their separate ways, you know. So, I can just talk if it comes to a technical. If you're looking for a technical approach onto trading, again, the most important thing, taken notice of is that you need some sort of system, a strategy. And you need to backtest it, and you need to build the confidence in the strategy or the system. And there is another question that we're going to dabble a bit more into that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no straightforward way of learning to trade. I mean, find a recommended provider, educator
mm-hmm.
that provides a service that you fancy and you think is decent, and just stick with it. Because I think a lot of aspiring traders, they go into a trading educator and might be experiencing some difficult times, and then they jump onto another one that is more shiny, and then they jump onto another one. They don't stick to one.
Yeah, they're looking for the holy grail.
Yeah, and again, there is no holy grail, and even technical analysis and fundamental analysis, it's both hard, you know. Like, technical analysis is easier to understand at the beginning, but you have the psychological aspect of sticking to it every single time because you have a lot more trades that you're pulling the trigger on. Mm. At least if you're day trading. Sorry, it could be swing trading as well. But
well, if I had to give any advice to anyone who was looking at the markets, who with little experience, try focus on where the big players are, you know, like the... I don't like to have to say this, but there's the dumb money and then there's the smart money in the markets. And if even if you just focus on, and when I say smart money, I mean like institutional traders, like investment banks, hedge funds, but mainly investment banks. So what time frames do these people look at? They're not looking at a 5-minute chart to take a trade. They just don't do that. They don't trade off that. The go-to chart for a hedge, like not for a hedge fund, for a go-to chart for an investment bank on a day-to-day basis would be between a 1-hour and 4-hour chart and the daily chart. That's what they're looking at. You know, they're looking at I don't know if they're basing their trades straight off a daily chart, but they're certainly focused on a 4-hour and 1-hour chart. Mainly the 4-hour chart is the favorite. So why would you be looking at, I don't understand why anyone trades a 1-minute chart. Or I think you can even look at a 30-second chart. Am I wrong in that?
It's something called the tick chart.
Like, this is just this is nonsense. Like what are people playing at?
I think we have to be open-minded, Phil. There is a lot of ways to trade the markets. You know, you have your way, and I'm sure that you could find a trader out there who trades the tick chart and is profitable.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. I'm sorry. I guess there are times when I actually just because I've seen it before, and I've seen people's charts, and I go, I've seen what they're looking at, I go, what are you playing at? But then again, yeah, they may be profitable, I don't know.
Just to play off your tip there, Philip, I think it's highly recommended that if you're going to start trading technically, start to swing trade before trying to dabble into day trading and stuff like that, because it's just a whole different ball game. So then I would certainly stick to the daily chart and try to swing trade the daily chart and see if I can get some profitability from there. And then afterwards, you could see if you fancy more going on to the lower time frames.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah.
But
anyway, on a webinar, that's when the P-Man will show people some multi-time frame analysis.
Yes. Anyway. Yes, for sure.
That,
for sure.
That in itself is a little bit of a holy grail. But because I'm so shocked and surprised at the amount of people who don't really use it or don't know about it.
What?
If multi-time frame analysis, it's actually really, really important.
Yeah. Again, there's a lot of ways for room, but I think having multi-time frame analysis in your arsenal is it can keep you off a lot of trades that you maybe could have taken, you know? So it just paints a bit more structural picture of where the markets are going, because the markets have structure, yeah. You know? So it breeds in a certain way. And that's different for every asset class, of course. But when I talk about the FX markets, they respond highly to the multi-time frame analysis way of looking at the market.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool.
Any more little questions?
Yes, we have Adam Dicker. He asks, I'll just read the whole post. Hi, guys. Some great and insightful info. Question as a beginner. I spotted this trend in Sterling CAD. Out of the trend lines, I think is correct. On the far right, I bought at the last candlestick and it appears to be paying off. Is this a good enough setup to identify trends? Is there any recommendations you would make about improving it? So I'm not quite sure what he's asking here.
I think he has a picture of a chart, actually, and he wants to know, is this a good setup? Well,
yeah, cool.
I know how to answer that, but you can do it again.
Well, I could just break down the trade. So, like, again, when you guys ask questions, be a little more detailed. And I think I read further down the post here that this guy went short and not long. So that's decent. But I think it's very important. If, let's say, hypothetically, that you were going to trade this off, is this a one-hour chart?
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, a one-hour chart, and he's going short. So the first thing that I would, every single time, that if I'm looking at a trade, I would go look at higher time frames. Now, I don't know if you have a certain system that you're trading here or something, but looking at the higher time frames will give you sort of an insight of where the momentum is going, and I've been saying that a couple of times now. So what I would do is go, let's say we skip the monthly and weekly chart here, and let's just say that this is a shorter time trade. So I would look at the daily chart first of instance, and you're going short on this trade. Now, the first thing that I am paying attention to, and this is the mainly reason why this trade was not on my radar at all, is that firstly, you're trying to trade short at the seventh day of a bear run on the daily.
Mm.
So when you look at the Sterling CAD, so let's just say you look at the daily chart of the Sterling CAD here, like, do you see that? Is there? So how am I going to explain this? There's not a lot of times that the Sterling CAD has moved more than 7 days before reversing.
Mm-hmm. I could see
so that. That's the first thing that I pay attention to here. So you're trying to trade short at the seventh day of a run. So ideally, you would want to trade this short like at the 25th of January when it's at the top of a run, yeah, of a bull run. Yeah. Then you want to take it short. The other thing that I'm paying attention to here is that you're trading straight into the magical number of 1.7. So that's another tip also for you guys, that the major players out there who are actually pushing prices, they pay highly attention to round numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So 1.7, 1.65, 1.6, you know? So I have it in my trading plan that I try not to trade into numbers like this. That's the second thing. The third thing is that you're trading short into a supply zone. So you're trading short into 1.7, which has been respected in the past as a zone where price is potentially gonna reverse from. Mm. So that's why this trade was not even on my radar. And that's just three things. And we haven't even gotten into the lower time frames, you know? So looking at, if this is the 1 hour chart that you're looking at, I have no idea how you have drawn this trend line. But to me, this trend line just looks, it looks like it's hanging in thin air, to be honest. And I don't mean to sound harsh here, but like, I draw my trend lines to the open and close prices, you know, just to have a bit of consistency in where I draw my lines. And again, trend lines are highly subjective, you know, so they're not that easy to spot for everybody as horizontal support or resistance lines.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you advice on this, no, I don't think your trend line is very good. And I don't think it's good enough set up to identify a trend. Mm. I think you have to look at the broader picture, and I think you have to take into consideration what the daily is doing, and that this pair might be showing signs of it actually turning to the upside, so a bullish move. And that's, I actually had Sterling CAD drawn up for a bullish move on Friday. So again, this is where multi-time frame analysis comes into play. And I can show you this on a webinar that will come sometime later this year.
Yeah, but, we're waiting.
So I think you have to put a little bit more work into actually identifying where a valid setup is. Again, I don't know if you're trading some sort of system or anything. I'm just going based on what I think you're doing here. So,
No, that's excellent analysis. I know I have the chart actually on my screen right now, and I don't know if you, maybe P-Man has the same line as I've drawn, but I have a horizontal resistance at 1.77000.
Yeah, again, that's the round number support that I'm talking about.
Well, and round number resistance. That's kind of where
resistance.
Yeah, where I would be, like, if I was a technical trader, solely technical analysis, I would be looking at price action right now, going, okay, I'm only interested in at 1.59 and between 1.77. When it's in between those two, in my eyes, it's anyone's guess. But I know Petter dives in more into multi-time frame analysis than I do, so he would be able to pick apart the trade in between those two bounds. But at the higher or lower, that's the only interest I have in those trades.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of small moving parts that can keep you out of trades that you shouldn't have taken. But I think the most distinguished clue here is on the daily chart. Mm-hmm. So even though your lower time frame charts are looking decent, the daily chart tells you here, like, there's no trade.
Yeah,
to the short side at least.
Yeah.
For me and my system. Yeah. So
it's like the whole story about the cheetah. Is it the cheetah and the antelope? So when the cheetah may sit by the river, you know, in the bushes, just staring for days and days, you know, until an antelope comes along and where it can pounce. But it doesn't just pounce on the antelope who's healthy. It waits for the antelope who's young. And then it waits for the antelope who's young with a broken leg, you know? So it waits for, like, a catalyst to pounce, and only then does it enter. Or does it, in my case, does it attack? This should be the same for a trade, you know? You should be looking at the higher time frames, and if they signal something, you're just waiting for the perfect time to execute.
Yeah. There's one more thing. Like, for any of you guys who are more inclined to trade the lower time frame charts, that's okay. I have no problem with that. But if I could give you an advice, try to set the daily up to be in the same direction as your trade.
Mm-hmm.
So make some sort of prediction on where I think the daily is gonna go. Because if you can get that correctly, then it's much more easier to get your strike rate up on the lower time frames.
I agree. Makes life so much more simple. Trust me.
Yeah, and it's so much more easier to eliminate trades as well, and it just cuts your workflow in half when you can go and look at the daily chart. And if I'm trading right into a support zone here, like, I don't care what the lower time frames are looking at, I'm just going to skip the trade.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
I'm sorry. I hope that came out correctly, even though my English is what it is.
I think you've great English.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. But yeah, so
well, I guess we'll start wrapping things up. I'm reminded of a quote whenever I think of people putting the work into technical analysis, and it is everybody wants the baby without the labor pains.
Ah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But if you just stick with it, guys, like, the you will get to the finish line somehow. But in between, there is a lot of hard work.
Exactly. Okay, well, look, thank you very much, everybody, for listening in today. And again, please keep your questions coming onto the Facebook group, as it's really important for us to gauge where you guys are at. And also, we like to answer questions for people. It gives us something to talk about. And we're as interested in you guys as you are in the podcast. Like, we enjoy listening to the feedback from people as well. So keep questions coming on the Discord group and on the Facebook group. And we'll be in touch very soon about the webinar as well. So thank you again for listening in. Say goodbye, P-Man.
Yes, thank you, everybody, and have a good and profitable week ahead.
Exactly. Enjoy.